right, good afternoon. I think we're going to go ahead and get started. My name is John Kenyon. I'm the Executive Director of the Iowa City UNESCO City of Literature Organization, and I'd like to welcome you to the Write Out Loud event as part of our One Book, Two Book Children's Literature Festival. So Iowa City is one of only 63 UNESCO-designated cities of literature in the world, and so we take writing very seriously here. And it's fitting for a city of literature to have a lot of very talented young people, and so we are very pleased today to be able to recognize some of the best of them. So before we get started, I did want to take a moment to thank the organizations that make this all possible. The Washington County Riverboat Foundation, Green State Credit Union, the Greater Iowa City Inc., Film Scene, PIP Printing and Marketing Services, all were sponsors of our festival this weekend. Also wanted to thank area libraries and school districts, Sidekick Books, Iowa City Poetry, our friends of City Channel 4 who are recording today's event, and the University of Iowa President's Office who all helped to make this possible as well. We also want to thank the teachers, the teacher librarians, the school administrators, and others who helped to spread the word and who help students with their writing and who believe in the power of the written word. I also want to give special thanks to the team from ACT that read and evaluated the submissions that we received this year. We're joined today by John Melby Etkin from ACT. John is the team leader for the group that evaluated all of our writing, and he's going to present our winners with their certificates today. So thank you, John. So we asked students in grades 1-8 from throughout the Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, and Washington corridors to submit one page of original writing. It could be a story, an essay, a poem, an illustrated story, or just about anything they can imagine and put on a piece of paper. Our partners with ACT evaluated these pieces and selected grade level winners in two categories. The first is the right stuff, which is judged based on language, clarity, structure, and emotional impact. The second category is from the heart, which is judged based on creativity, passion, and expressiveness. In addition, they identified other top students across the grades, and these students will receive honorable mention recognition today. Now, I'm just curious, how many students, by a show of hand, have been here more than just this year? You've been recognized at One Book, Two Book before. All right, get them high. You should be proud of that. That is great. And I can tell you, looking at the names of the winners, that there are many names that are very familiar to me because over the years they have won. They've been named an honorable mention student one year. They've won a grade level category the next. And it's wonderful to see these talented students continue to write, to continue to find new ways to express themselves. So thank you again to all of you for submitting and being a part of this year. So I wanted to explain a little bit about how things are going to work today. We're going to call up each grade one at a time in order, 1-8. So students, when I call your grade, please come to the foot of the stairs down from where John is sitting over there. I will ask the honorable mention students to come on stage first. John will give you your certificate and a prize. And then we'll ask you to just stand kind of right under the lit part of the screen there. One little thing to make sure we don't lean on this. As you can see, that's not a wall. It will fall behind you. So please remember that. Then we'll have the grade level winners come up one at a time. You'll get your certificate from John, and then you will read your piece at the microphone here. And then when we're done with all of those students, we'll pause for a moment so that parents and other well-wishers who are here can get photos, and then you can come down off the stage and we'll do the whole thing again with the next grade. Does that make sense to everybody? Great. I know you guys are very sharp, so I think we'll all get it. So, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors, in addition to the certificates of merit that all of you will receive, you will also receive a $10 gift card to Sidekick Books, which we hope you, of course, will use to buy more books. So, that is a great thing. And then in addition, we have a prize for our grade level winners that is a special notebook that we hope you'll use to continue writing. John has an example there. All right, so now we're going to get started, and I'd like to invite our first grade student to come to the front of the stage. We have one honorable mention student in first grade, Henry Rager from Willow Wind School. So Henry, come on up. And Henry, if you just want to stay right in the middle there, make yourself comfortable. That's great. All right. I like that. So our Right Stuff winner for the first grade, Talia Keck, could not be here with us today. So we're going to show a video of Talia reading her piece, Margot, A Dog's Tale. And Henry, you can sit there or you can go back to your seat and watch it. It's entirely up to you. What do you think? All right. I think that's what I would have done. It's a better shot there. Well, thank you for coming up. Let's all give Henry a round of applause. All right, and now we can watch Talia.
Hi, I'm Talia Keck. I'm a first grader at Wickham, and I'm going to read you Margot, A Dog's Life. Hi, my name is Margot. I was born in Texas, but my family found me at an adoption center in Iowa. They have two kids, Talia and Ayla. They are so cute, and I loved spending time with them, especially when they play outside with me. When I come back inside, I'm so excited that my paws slide across the floor and look like a fish on land. In my new home, I have a snake toy with lots of noisy squeakers. It's my favorite. I also enjoy gnawing on my antler. It has really helped me channel my puppy chewing instincts. The first time I saw fluffy white stuff falling from the sky, I didn't know what to think of it. I was so scared to go in it, but Ayla and Talia helped show me that I could have fun. Talia helped show me that I could have fun in it. Now I enjoy running around in the snow, even when it comes all the way up to my belly. I don't have a very long fur. So sometimes I get cold in the winter. Thankfully, my family got me a nice warm pink coat that helps me stay warm. I've only been with my family for half a year, but I already feel so loved and known. I have found my forever home.
All right, so that was Talia. That was our Right Stuff winner for the first grade. So we don't have a From the Heart winner for the first grade, so we're going to move on to the second grade. And I would like to ask our second grade students if they will come down to the front of the stage so that we can welcome them up here. Yeah, if you just want to wait at the bottom of the stairs, we'll call your name individually. So go ahead and, yeah, there you go. All right, so we're going to start with our honorable mention student, which is Hazel Lindley from Garner. So Hazel, if you can come up and get a certificate from John. Can you get a certificate from him over here? Great. And you can stay up here if you want, Hazel. That'd be great. Thank you. All right. Now our Right Stuff winner is Ryan Dutta from Willow Wind School, and she will read Golden City. Oh, I'm sorry, he. Come on, go ahead and get your certificate.
I can hold this while he's reading.
That's great, too. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and read, and then John can give you your certificate. Yeah.
Come on over.
Yeah.
Go ahead and read that.
Read. Running is good for you. Egypt is ancient. At the port, lots of ships come in. It's the land about your creativity.
Thank you. Okay, now you can get your certificate and your book from John. And if you'd like to stay up on stage over here so we can get pictures of all of you guys, that would be great, or you can go back. All right. That's fine. Whatever you would like to do, Ryan. All right, and now we're going to welcome, from the heart winner, Adia Iyengar from Willowind School, who will read My Great Cookie. So come on up and read, and then you can get your certificate from John when you're done.
My Great Cookie. My cookie is as golden as a beam of sunshine. The bumps are like tall mountains in the air. I smell chocolatey homemade warmness as I sniff the air. I hear soundless crackling as I break it in half. I taste the chocolatey melted delicious cookie as I take a bite. My cookie feels as polished as a smooth window. My cookie makes me feel as peaceful as I can be. My cookie makes me feel like a statue in the night. I feel like an angel with all the sunlight.
Thank you, though that one is definitely not fair for those of us who haven't had lunch yet. So, all right. And then we have from the heart winner, Sophie Lathrop, who from Willowind, who will read Weird Animals. So come on up, Sophie.
No, it couldn't be a cat because it has to be a bat. No, it couldn't be a cat. Look at that long tail. It has to be a whale. No, it couldn't be a fox because it has to be hawks. No, it couldn't be a fox. Look at that short tail like a pug. It has to be a very big bug. No, it couldn't be a swan because it has to be a little fawn. No, it couldn't be a swan. Look at that big nose. It has to be crows. No, it couldn't be a deer because it has to be a steer. No, it couldn't be a deer. Look at that little eye. It has to be a fly.
Great. Yeah, and if our second grade winners wanted to come up together and have a photo, we could do that. You guys want to pop up together real quick? And Hazel, if you're out there, you could do that. Great. Come on up. And don't lean. Good. I don't want anybody falling down. All right. Smile big, guys. Yes. Thank you. How about that? All right, thanks. I think everybody got them. You guys can go back to your seats now. Thank you. All right, now I'm going to ask our third grade winners if they can come to the foot of the stage and just stay there at the bottom of the stairs, and we'll have you come up in the order that we welcome you up. All right, so at first we're going to welcome our honorable mention students up. We have Hazel Johnson from Clear Creek Amana Elementary, if you want to come up and get a certificate. Then Hazel, if you want to just stay here, that's perfect. Thank you. And next we have Emery Stoll from Weber Elementary. Great. Thank you both. All right. Now our The Right Stuff winner for the third grade is Ella Jane Rex from Hoover Elementary, who will read Oliver the Author. So come on up, Ella Jane.
Author by Ella Jane Rex. There once was a turtle that lived in the ocean. His name was Oliver. Oliver loved to write. He wrote stories all the time. Oliver liked science too, though. Often, Oliver wrote about science. One day, when Oliver had just started school, he brought a book he was working on to school. Its title was The Super Smart Scientist, but when it was time for story time, he forgot to put his book away. After story time, one of his classmates, Rhody, spotted his book. He read the first few pages. Oliver saw Rhody. "Hi, Rhody," Oliver said when he got to his desk. "Do you like my book?" "No, your book is bad. Plus, all the science you wrote isn't true. Your drawings are bad, too. You didn't color in the lines." "No, it's not bad," yelled Oliver. "Shh, Oliver, no yelling," said his teacher. "Ha," Rhody said, not as loud. Then Rhody lined up for lunch. As Oliver grabbed his paper bag, he thought about his book. And it was true. Oliver didn't research all that he wrote, and he didn't color in all the lines, but did that matter? Yes, he thought, that did matter. It mattered a lot. So if I keep writing stories, and they're all bad, and they won't get published, then basically, I'm wasting a bunch of time, Oliver thought, as he pulled out a PB&J sandwich and a juice box from his paper bag. So Oliver decided to never again write a book. It was pretty hard to start. Oliver touched his pencil to his paper once or twice, but after that, he got the hang of it. He didn't write a book for 2 years, but one summer when Oliver was going through his backpack, he saw a few crumpled papers all stuck together. It was an old book. Oliver started to read. Then he remembered Rhody. Oliver then wrote a book that taught the lesson that someone should never boss you around or tell you that something is wrong with your book. Then he entered it in a book contest and it got published.
All right, thank you for sharing that with us, Ella Jane. And now we have our From the Heart winner, Shion Grace Lee from Lincoln Elementary, who will read The Ghost Cat and a Child's Art at Midnight. You may put that taller.
The Ghost Cat and a Child's Art at Midnight. I was walking down an empty hall when I heard a sound that came from the wall. I heard a ghost that was booing. Then I heard an owl hooting. I am so afraid of dark. Then the swing began to move by itself at the park. Then something glided in front of me. I saw it was something mean to see. Its head was Pete the Cat. At first, I thought it was a giant bat. It floated by without a sound. Its tail curled up and spun around. It said, "Hello, I'm Captain Boo. I'm a ghost. That is true. But don't be scared. I'm nice, not mean. My favorite food is baked beans." "What's your favorite food?" asked the ghost. "Oh, my favorite food? Probably toast. I once danced in Beijing Zoo. Oh, I saw Mickey Mouse wanting to photograph a cute panda eating bamboo. It stood up tall, looked me or you. It wore beautiful ballet shoes, a pair of two. It floated up, it gave a spin. Can I stay and dance within?" It meowed with a ghostly smile. It danced around in cat style. She showed me how to rise and bend to put my shoes, it softly said. A piano played so sweet and low, as if chopping began to flow. I once danced here so long ago, beneath the stars, the moon aglow. I missed the music, the stage, the light, so I returned one starry night. I showed her some of my arts. I said, "Each picture shows my heart. I paint with color, shapes, and lines. The frame of my portrait shines. This one is a swirling starry sky, like Van Gogh's dreams that never die. And this is Claude Monet," I said with pride. "Soft water lilies bloom, the colors glide. The world feels calm, kind, and fair, with soft dance flowing through my hair." She twirled and leapt through a drifting snow, her steps a gentle, graceful flow. She looked at Monet's Bridge and Sun and whispered, "You and I are one." Art lives in many forms, she said, in paint, in dance, in music thread. When the clock struck 2:30, the ghost cat sighed. We must be through. She floated back and waved goodbye. I missed my ghost cat and started to cry. So now when the moonlight filled the air, I feel her dancing gently there. And sometimes when I'm tucked in tight, the room comes alive with the softest light. With memories of paint and song, of dance and friendship all night long. We paint, we twirl, and shape the night. A ghost, a child, and art's pure light.
Thank you. All right, so if we want to get any photos of our group here, feel free to snap away. Here, I'll give a better background there. All right, I think all the phones are down, so you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you. All right, now I would like to ask our fourth grade students if they would come to the stage so that we can recognize you. All right. So first we will recognize our honorable mention students. We have Sky Olivier from Willow Wind School. And Sky, I realize I'm missing an eye on my sign up there. I apologize for that. It's okay. And then Maeve Lyons from Willow Wind School. And now we will welcome up the Right Stuff winner, Nidhi Saha from Horn Elementary, who will read Limited Steps.
Limited Steps. I was at school on a Monday when something strange happened. All of a sudden, the intercom rang, and the whole classroom went quiet. Everyone looked around, confused. I remember thinking, why would the principal talk to us on a Monday? Nothing special ever happens on Mondays. Then our principal started speaking. She said, good morning, but her voice sounded serious. She told us that what she was about to say might be hard to understand. That's when I got a really uncomfortable feeling in my stomach. She announced that starting that day, students would have a limit on how many steps they could take at school. Not at home, just at school. By steps, she meant every single step we walked. From our classroom to the bathroom, down the hallway to the cafeteria, and even at recess. To keep track, we're each given a special watch to wear at school. The watches counted our steps and were connected to the teachers and principals' computers. Then she said the number, only 1,000 steps per day. The principal didn't give a long explanation. She just said the school wanted to help students learn self-control and responsibility. Walking calmly, she said, was part of being respectful and safe. And now every step would count. Suddenly, everything felt different. If someone ran in the hallway, the watch would know. If someone took extra steps just to fool around, the watch would know. Even walking too much for no real reason could get you in trouble. I started thinking, what if I waste my steps before lunchtime? What if I don't have enough left for recess? Every step felt important now. Then I felt someone shaking me. I heard a loud beeping sound. I opened my eyes and saw my mom standing over me, turning off my alarm clock. It was 7 a.m. and she was waking me up for school. That's when I realized it had all been a dream. But when I got to school that real Monday, I couldn't stop thinking about it. The dream was kind of funny, but it also taught me something important. In real life, we don't have step limits, we don't have word limits, and we don't have walk around thinking about how many heartbeats we have left. But the truth is, we do have limits. We just don't notice them. We only realize how valuable something is when it's almost gone. That's when we start paying attention and choosing more carefully. I realize that life is a lot like that dream. We can't do everything. We can't say yes to everything. We have to decide what really matters, because every day we're spending our time, our energy, and our intention just like steps. So maybe the lesson isn't about limiting ourselves. Maybe it's about prioritizing, choosing what deserves our steps, our words, and our time. That day, I became grateful for every step I take, every word I speak, and every heartbeat I feel. Life is made up of small everyday gifts, and when we notice them, even an ordinary Monday can feel important. From now on, I decided I won't take things for granted. I'll slow down, pay attention, and choose what really matters, one step at a time.
Thank you. Now, our From the Heart winner for this grade level is Ayla Keck from Wickham Elementary. She could not be here to read her poem, so I'm going to do it for her. This is Love from Within. Sometimes I doubt myself, wonder if I am enough, smart enough, strong enough, capable enough. I don't think I can do it. I can't do it. I just can't. Then I feel the warmth of arms coming around me, encircling me, shutting out the noise, and know that my family is there for me, and they love me just the way I am. I stay there in that moment, loving it. I begin to think that maybe I am smart enough, strong enough, capable enough, that I can do it, that I can do anything. So that was Ayla's poem. So if you'd like to get a photo... Sorry, I'm going to go back to this one. If you'd like to get a photo of our fourth graders, feel free. All right. Looks like all your well-wishers have their souvenirs, so you guys can go ahead and go back to your seats. Thank you. So we're going to take a brief pause here at the midway point. I'll get back to where I need to be. I'd like to invite up Liz Corson with the University of Iowa's College of Education, who's going to talk about an exciting writing opportunity for students. So Liz, come on up. You can just be right here.
Okay. I'll get out of your way. Thank you. Thanks so much, John. It's very exciting to be here, and congratulations to all the writers. My name's Liz Corson. I'm a clinical assistant professor at Teaching and Learning Department in the College of Education, and the Teaching and Learning Department, along with the Iowa Reading Association, are sponsoring the second annual Southeastern Iowa Short Story and Poetry Writing Contest. So I encourage all of you in this room and all of you out there watching on the news to enter the contest. It's for kindergarten through 12th grade students in Southeast Iowa. The deadline is April 6th, and the winners in each category across the grades, kindergarten through 12th, will be invited for a celebration at Lindquist Center at the University of Iowa in May, and they will be we will let them know more information on that. And there'll also be an anthology published with the winners' writing. So thank you so much, and again, congratulations to all the writers.
Yes, thank you very much, Liz. And Liz brought some brochures or some pamphlets in the back that you can pick up so you can get more information about that competition. And they're back on the same table where the booklets are. So please make sure you grab one, because we'd love to see our students submit to that and further their writing. All right, now would our fifth grade students please come to the foot of the stage, and you'll come up on the stage in the order that I introduce you. All right, so first we have August Parkinson from Mann Elementary, who is one of our honorable mention students. Congratulations, August. Great, thank you. And Charlie Mangano from Longfellow Elementary. All right, congratulations. Now our Write Stuff winner is Vance Vandale III, and Vance could not be with us, and he also recorded a video. So let me see if I can make this work from here. Here we go.
Hello, my name is Vance Vandale. I'm in the fifth grade at Willowen School, and today I will be reading a poem. Summer camp. On our approach to the campground, my father slows the car to a glide, as if he wants one more minute alone with me, as if he fears I might miss him. My father names all the trees: juniper, larch, oak. The woods rise around the campground like giants guarding us from lurking creatures. A scent of rain and smoky ash surround me. My heart begins beating like a bobcat's just before he strikes. I leap onto the spongy ground. My backpack bites my shoulders. My grandpa's army duffel drags behind me, heavy with ghosts and ancient stories. I move turtle slow, like my grandpa did as he got older. My father finds cabin 140. I memorize the number, embossed in shiny steel. For a moment, my face floats there in the mirrored surface. I give my dad's hand one last squeeze. It feels like a well-worn catcher's mitt, soft but firm. I wonder who my cabin mates will be, if any of them will snore. I spot a bottom bunk, empty and waiting. I unzip my bag, flows erupt, a mushroom cloud of chaos. My dad laughs and takes a picture. Soon the cabin fills, blankets, voices, and the smell of wet shoes. I count their claps, loud as thunder, grabbing attention like a performance. Dinner time, he calls. Together we dash into the rain, drops splattering on our faces. I don't even notice my father's gone, vanish quietly into the night. As dinner arose, the voices grew more like family. Back in my bunk, the sheets are soft and warm. This forest sways and creaks. Insects whisper their tiny secrets. I tell myself I'm not afraid. My eyes blink and close. The world tips forward, and I slide into sleep, as if settling into a bed of soft snow. Thank you.
All right, so that was Vance. And now we have our From the Heart winner, Alina Hadland-Smith from Horn Elementary, who will read Chipper and the Barking Breakout. Go ahead and pull that down. Great.
Chipper and the Barking Breakout. Dry, tasteless, and cheap are all words I would use to describe the food here at the Pound. A 1/4 cup is all they feed us. From the Great Danes like myself to the tiny Chihuahuas, we all get the same. As the bowl of food is placed in my kennel, I think to myself, why am I here? Why did my owners really get rid of me? I vaguely remember the day I was brought here. It was a snowy day, and all I did was sit down next to the human child, and he started sneezing like crazy. The rest of the day was a blur. The man took me into the car, looking genuinely sorry for me, as the boy wept and begged the man not to take me. Even though she was putting on a brave face, I could see a few tears in the woman's eyes. My thinking is interrupted by a loud yowl from the small gold and brown mutt down in cage 22. I guess it's her turn. A sharp sadness with a hint of fear pangs me. I see her quivering in the cage, being held by the grumpy man. I know my turn is coming soon. I might be thinking about my old family or seeing that poor mutt being carried away, but a sudden thought enters my brain. We have to break out, and we have to do it tonight. Later that day, they led us outside in the back to play. While I was laying under a tree, I noticed Dagger, the pound's most notoriously grumpy dog, laying in a patch of wet grass. I also know that he has a loose lock on his kennel. One good push and the door to his kennel could open. The man always has to close his door twice. I pace over to where Dagger is sprawled on the ground. "Hey, Dagger, what's up?" I bark cheerfully yet casually. "What do you want, Chipper?" he growls in reply. "Listen," I begin. "I happen to know that you have a loose lock on your cage. If you were to bust your cage open and break me out, I can free the whole pound. I could get you a dog treat in return." "Well," he grumbles, "a dog treat would be nice." "Fine, make it two and I'll help you." "Deal," I bark excitedly. I'm relieved he actually agreed. As soon as it's dark out and all the lights are off in the pound, I put the next phase of my plan into action. "Tiny," I bark softly, "listen, I need you to get me a dog treat. And remember, you owe me. My friend Tiny the Chihuahua has a space on both sides of her cage where the dogs before us had bent it up, and since she's on the end, she can stick her head under and grab a treat." "What do you need?" she barks in reply. "Two dog biscuits," I bark. She slips her head under and grabs the treats out of the bag, which is carelessly laid on its side. "Dagger," I bark across the aisle, "I have them." Dagger turns around, squares up to the cage, and with a hefty grunt, kicks the door open. Then he comes over to my cage and pushes the lock to the side. We run up and down the aisle, freeing everyone we pass. What a rush! I've never felt so alive. Once everyone is out, we all run over to the large vent, and with a huge thrust of my legs, the panel falls out. Tiny leads everyone out while I go to the very back to make sure no one is left behind. Once we get to the end of the tunnel, Dagger steps in front of Tiny and kicks the panel off. And then we're finally free. But this is a totally different type of free. I hadn't thought this far ahead. Is this really what I want? But I guess that's okay to sometimes not know what you want. The fresh pine air is a gift to my nose I never thought I'd get. As we run downhill, I look around at the dogs who have become my family. When we get to the bottom, they all turn to me. They want me to lead.
Thanks, Lena. All right, so if folks would like to get photos of our fifth grade winners, now is your time. All right, thank you. You can go back to your seats now. All right, so now I'm going to ask our sixth grade students to come to the foot of the stage. Though I think it may well be student, so hang in there, Ben. So our honorable mention winner for the sixth grade is Lazarus Erickson from Northwest Middle School, and I don't think Lazarus was able to join us today. I think that is correct, but we can still give Lazarus a round of applause. All right, so the Right Stuff winner for the sixth grade is Elsa Dietrich from Clear Creek Amana Middle School, whose piece is titled The Purge, Chapter 1. Now, Elsa could not join us or make a video, so I am going to read her piece, and then Ben, if you can just hang in there, we'll get you up here. So this is Chapter 1 from The Purge by Elsa Dietrich. "Look at this," Chanel spun her Ford toward Colleen. "A purge alert. Who would actually believe that?" Chanel chuckled to herself. "Well," Colin replied, adjusting his jacket, "lots of people are convinced it'll happen someday." The old grandfather clock rang once, twice, and once more. Chanel groaned. "Great," she muttered. Class started. She grabbed her faded blue backpack and bolted toward the door, sneakers squeaking against the polished floor. Colin followed close behind, nearly tripping over a loose rug as they burst through the door. The campus was eerily quiet as Chanel and Colin made their way to the lecture hall. "You think anyone will notice we're late?" Colin asked, the corners of his mouth lifting up in a smile. "Well, what do you think, genius?" Chanel shot back, smirking. They rounded the corner and froze. Ace Wallace stood propped up against the wall, arms crossed, dubbed the school's neckbreaker, Chanel's ex. "Hey, dweeb," Ace sneered, jerking his chin toward Colin. "Yeah, you, come here." Colin took a hesitant step forward. That was all Ace needed. He lunged. Colin barely had time to flinch before Chanel shoved him to the side. Ace's fist sliced through the empty air, and force carried him off balance. His shoes squealed against the floor as he stumbled, barely catching himself. "Back off, Ace," Chanel snapped, stepping between them. Her heart hammered violently, but she stood her ground. Ace straightened, laughing low and ugly. Still playing hero, Chanel? Thought you'd grown out of that. His gaze dropped to her hand. The phone screen had lit up, glowing harshly in the dim hallway. Ace's jaw tightened as he read it. Colin looked over Chanel's shoulder, his breath hitching. Emergency alert. The purge commences at 5:30. All crimes will be legal for 72 hours. Okay, this is getting out of hand. The words died in Chanel's throat. A blaring alarm tore through the air. Not the familiar class bell. No, this one was deeper, harsher. The lights overhead flickered, plunging the hallway into flashes of yellow and white. Ace's smirk faltered. Then came the sirens, dozens of them. Students poured from classrooms, screams echoing off the walls. Some ran, others froze. Teachers shouted useless commands, their voices swallowed by the rising panic. Chanel's instincts screamed at her. She shoved her phone into her pocket. We should go. Colin grabbed her wrist, eyes wide. Dorms are too far, Chanel. She scanned the chaos, pulse racing. Then we find someplace else. Another scream rang out, closer this time, and whatever safety the campus once promised was already gone. So that's chapter one. And if you're like me, you're very eager for chapter two and beyond. So I hope Elsa continues to write. So thank you for your patience, Ben. Ben Ayers is our From the Heart winner. He is from Willowwind School, and he's going to read My Garden.
My Garden. Peppermint in the air, herbs cover everywhere. Soon I will have picked them all. The ivy twists and turns like a sly snake. Slowly I walk down the path, laden with pebbles. Fuzzy catmint brushes my arms. Gradually leaves fall, like colorful snowflakes. Some land in my hair, beauty beyond compare. I pick up a single red leaf, inspecting it. A tiny insect, a perfect fit for my garden. Now I must leave. Fresh berries await me, but nothing says autumn like tea. Then I really know that this is fall.
Thank you, Ben. And if you want to stop and pose for a photo, if there's somebody who wants to get one of you while you're on stage, I don't know. You're kind of famous now. You're going to have to get used to this. Great. Thanks, Ben. All right. Now will our seventh grade students come to the foot of the stage, please. Our seventh grade honorable mention students are Emily Ding from Northwest Middle School. Is Emily with us? She is not. And April Hsu from Northwest Middle School, who I know is not able to join us. So let's go ahead and give them a round of applause anyway. And we can get right to our readers. Our Write Stuff winner is Rosanna Yang from Northwest Middle School, who will read Buried City.
Buried City. Take the city of light, the city built of hopes and dreams, a city that rises as far as sight, and tear it down, wish by wish, break the foundations of childhood reminiscences, crack and chip the road to tomorrow, dig up all the buried sorrows, twist daydreams into haunting nightmares, blur familiar faces into ones that don't care, collect the morals and lessons learned, snip the connections to family and friends, plunder the heart of gold, the helping hand, and watch all of it burn. Pile the ashes and wreckage high, taller than the bright blue sky, a twisted mountain of bitter thoughts and wallowing hate, in a barren field of cooling ideas, and whispers of far, far too late. All that is left is one lonely willow tree, a willow tree that weeps for what could have been, should have been, would have been, for lost humanity. Snow drifts downward, bearing the evidence under a sheet of white, piling higher and higher erasing everything from memory. The tree drops its leaves. But it isn't dead. It is only awaiting a distant spring.
Thank you, Rosanna. All right. And our From the Heart winner is Sarah Vergara Vanegas from Southeast Middle School, who will read They Are Watching.
They are watching. Every message, every call, even the movies and videos you see. If you talk, they hear you. If you walk, they see you. When you think you are alone, they are in the room with you. They are the alarm that wakes you up in the morning. They are the answer to every question you ask. They are the annoying vendor, the cashier, the artist next door. They know what you want, when you want it, why you want it. They know you better than you think you know yourself. Careful, for they know who you are. Careful, for they know where to find you. Careful, for all your secrets are theirs. Careful, for they are watching.
Thank you, Sarah. And if we have folks who want to get photos of our seventh grade winners, now's the time. All right, thank you very much. You guys can return to your seats. All right, and last but not least, our eighth graders. I'd like to ask them to come to the foot of the stage, please. So we have our eighth grade honorable mention students. We have Akira Epps from Southeast Middle School. She wasn't able to join us today. And then Miranda Zimmerman from Scattered Good Friends School. Miranda. All right, congratulations. And now the Right Stuff winner, who is Lorelei Rex from Southeast Middle School, who will read Horses of the Sea.
Horses of the Sea. They were said to be horses of the sea. I didn't know what that meant at first. I do now. The mist was rising from the sea early one morning, recoiling from the cold water. There was a salty smell in the air, as there always was when you were down by the water. Jenna had snuck out early, when the velvety sky was clear and cold, encrusted with chips of diamond, and the Milky Way was a sparkling band of lavender and pearly blue in the endless black. She ran barefoot through the small wood behind her house, light on her feet. Soon the trees thinned, and she could feel coarse sand under her feet and see moonlight glinting off the water in the distance. Jenna flew down the gentle slope to the water. The sand grew finer and paled in color until it was the same shade and consistency as powdered sugar. Small foamy waves lapped at the smooth shoreline, and there was a distinct waterline where warped strips of black cherry bark, pebbles, and tiny seashells had washed up and accumulated. The horses were there, she knew, just beyond the shadows, even though she couldn't see them yet. Elixir said so. They liked the morning best, he'd whispered with fierce conviction. How do you know? Jenna had asked doubtfully. Elixir's response, per usual, was irritatingly brief, yet accurate. It's when the horses come up from the sea. Jenna didn't ask any clarifying questions, knowing that Elixir would only supply curt answers that wouldn't fully satisfy her curiosity. They hid behind a dune covered with tufts of cordgrass to wait. Soon enough, less than an hour after they settled in, there was a soft whickering from within a wild thicket of bayberry bushes. A velvety pink muzzle nosed aside some branches, and a small but sturdy-looking mare picked her way daintily through the brush. She had a white coat with chestnut patches, and a snowy mane and tail, windblown from the cool breeze blowing off the coast. She neighed softly. Horses appeared seemingly out of thin air, springing from within the bayberry hedge, milling only 10 feet from where Jenna and Elixir were hiding. As Jenna watched, something extraordinary took place. At first, it just looked like a wave rolling to shore, but as she looked closer, she saw that it was made of horses. The horses were made of water, and their feet made a chilling, echoey, pattering noise on the surface of the water as they skimmed across it. Jenna stared in disbelief as the swell of horses broke on the shore. The water from the wave receded, pulling off the sand, but the horses stayed, rivulets of water streaming from their bodies. Jenna tried counting the ponies. She got to 34 before she lost track and gave up. The rising sun glowed on their coats, catching in the salt crystallized on long fetlock hairs, glinting off unshod hooves or pulling like the still waters of a turquoise lagoon in the lone blue eye of a Cromella stallion. The ponies on the shore surged forward to greet the water horses, whickering with what could only be described as joy. The two groups circled each other, but they never touched. Part of Jenna wondered if that was because they couldn't. "They meet each other here every morning," Elixir murmured. His voice was low and raspy, and for a second Jenna thought he was crying, but she looked at his face and it was as dry and blank as always. At first she thought Elixir wasn't going to say anything else, but he surprised her by continuing. "The water horses. They're ghosts in a way," he said softly. "They're the horses that didn't make it to shore when the Spanish galleon sank. Their souls were caught in the sea. They can come ashore, but only on the sand, and the sun's rays can't touch them." The eastern sky was flushed with pink. The sun was just minutes away from fully rising. The water horses lifted their heads in unison, perfected over centuries of practice. The water horses shifted restlessly, and a stallion leaped lightly into the air, striking at the ground before springing into a gallop. As one being, they wheeled around, flying over the sea, and finally, just as they were nearly out of view, plunging seamlessly back into the glassy ocean where they had come from.
Hey, thank you, Lorelei. Oh. All right, thanks, Ty. And finally, our From the Heart winner for the eighth grade is Mazzie Sleep, who is homeschooled and who will read Cities.
All right. Cities. Two girls put their heads underwater. Do you understand? Over the fence, the cars parked and humming. The night divides itself into panes of green and gold, then blue and black. The houses here are dressed in snow, as brides are. Patches of ice, then the phone lines falling and rising, like a beat in reverse as the road conspires towards its forested border. The water devours the head, but what devours the body it leaves behind. Through the open door, I can see the fruit rotting in the fruit bowl, the roots put down by the sleeping family at night. Thank you.
Thanks, Mazzie. All right, so let's get photos of our eighth graders here, if you'd like to. All right, I think we've got it. Thank you. You guys can go back to your seats. I wanted to say congratulations to all of our writers today. Please help me to congratulate everyone who was recognized today. You all have a clear talent for writing, and I hope you'll continue to pursue that. And I also selfishly hope you'll continue to submit to One Book, Two Book, because we'd love to see you back here. I wanted to, again, thank our sponsors and partners who helped to make this weekend possible: Washington County Riverboat Foundation, Green State Credit Union, our area libraries and school districts, the Greater Iowa City, Inc., Sidekick Books, Iowa City Poetry, City Channel 4, and the University of Iowa President's Office. Also, again, wanted to give a special thank you to the area teacher librarians and principals and classroom teachers and everyone else who helped to spread the word and who continue to support students writing and pursuing their creative endeavors. I would also again like to thank the team at ACT and John for helping us not only to evaluate the pieces, but to join us today and help to pass out some prizes. And lastly, I wanted to say that for our grade level winners, so the students who won the right stuff or From the Heart, we have yard signs that you can pick up. We have them at the back. Rachel, again, can raise her hand if you would like to have one of those. We have signs and stands, and you can put those in your yard and let everybody know that you are an award-winning writer. So those are thanks to our friends at PIP. So grab one of those if you would like. So beyond that, I would just like to say thank you again for coming and joining us today and helping us to celebrate these amazing young writers. And if you would like to get any last photos or anything on the stage, feel free to come up and we'll do that. Otherwise, I will just say, go home safely and try to stay warm. Thanks for joining us today.